Thank you, Jessica, for reading our gospel lesson from the Gospel of Luke. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The Pharisees are watching Jesus' every move. What's new? Watching every move and listening to every word he says. The leader of the Pharisees invites Jesus to a Sabbath meal, a day that holds tension for both parties. Now, before I go on, I want to clear the air about something, and that is that the Pharisees are not bad people. We often typecast them as the villain of the story, but they are not. In fact, a couple of chapters earlier, it was the Pharisees who warned Jesus about a plot to take his life. And so they save him and his ministry to continue on. So they're not villains. In fact, the Pharisaic movement was a pretty progressive movement at its time. As many scribes contended, true worship takes place within the temple walls. This Pharisaic movement broke from tradition, saying that God meets us outside of the temple, in our community, even in our own homes, we can worship God. But even though the Pharisees had reimagined their tradition to be relevant for their time, they still held tightly to this practice of Sabbath that kept people from being healed, fed, or seen. It was a practice of Sabbath that Jesus aggressively pushes back against every chance he could. In fact, we just heard that. As Jesus is walking down the road to dinner with the head Pharisee on the Sabbath day, Jesus boldly heals a man who has edema. And they watch him, and the text says they don't say a word until Jesus breaks the silence by teaching to them, saying, if their child or livestock were hurt on the Sabbath, would you help them? And again, they say nothing. We don't know if they were silent because they were so angry and seething at this public confrontation, or if their silence was due to their hearts or minds beginning to understand the gospel on a deeper level. As they go into the house for dinner, the roles reverse. The Pharisees, who were watching Jesus so closely, are now under his observation. Like Jane Goodall in the jungle watching the behavior of apes, Jesus observes how they live out their faith by this simple act of selecting a seat at a table. In the Greco-Roman world, the dinner table was this microcosm of the wider culture. Their tables were often shaped in these big U's, or a horseshoe, if you know of a stadium that looks like that. And at the top of the U was where the host would sit, and on the other side would be the distinguished guest. But when you start at the host, going from down and around to the most important guest, they were sitting in order of status and significance in the community. And so Jesus was observing, how do they live out their faith within their culture? He watched as Pharisees entered the room, puffed out their chests perhaps, began using bigger words, name-dropping famous teachers they had, or how great their dad was. Perhaps with some humor, Jesus observes the pettiness that was a cultural game of the time. People vying for the best position at the table, making their case why they are better than others. There's another reason we cannot vilify Pharisees, and that's because we are a lot like them. Not intended to be malicious, and often unknowingly, we sit around the table, we drive the streets, we go to family reunions, we check on social media, asserting in our own petty way, at least I sit higher than that person. I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm the Reverend. The title is everywhere for people to see. For others, it could be that you are a successful business owner. I bring jobs. I give to organizations. Look how great I am and where my name is. We play this game all the time. At least I don't live on that side of Memorial Drive. At least my children have never had a drug problem. At least I didn't vote for so-and-so in the last election. At least my body is in good shape and in good health. In our hearts, we play that game. I am better, and therefore I deserve a better seat. The Pharisees were doing it with religion, perhaps thinking they were better because just from being a more progressive church than others, they thought that they were on top somehow. However, that mindset of the self-righteous is the same exact game. I care more about the poor. I care more about justice than they do. Can you believe what that church downtown is saying? Same thing. So what is it then? What is motivating the Pharisees, and what causes us to play that same game with others around us? Self-glory. To glorify the self, to lift the self, to feel like we are someone, especially by making others feel less than. A lot of that going around these days. It is this need to be seen as the most important, the most powerful, the most successful, the smartest, and most deserving of the very best seat in the house. And Jesus has witnessed the consequences of this way of living, or I should say, theology, in the streets. And we see the consequences in our streets too. It means the woman who has been bent over half her life is ignored. It means the beggar sitting outside the temple or Maple Street Methodist is passed without a second thought of their life or well-being. It means city council will push housing insecure people out of a neighborhood without any solution to help or care. It means the poor, the lame, and the blind do not receive a dinner invitation. They have not earned a meal, a living wage, a home of their own, or the tools or resources to be healed. However, that is exactly what Jesus is about. As a kid, I remember hearing this story, and I thought Jesus was about offering a strategy, a sneaky way to get to the top. If I just go to the bottom, if I just become last, then like the game Chutes and Ladders, I will climb to the top seat. However, Jesus has issues with greatness, the game itself, throughout the Gospels. He is committed to making the community one. Jesus holds communal feasts with leftovers to spare and no entry fee. He touches those who are to remain outside. He heals everyone, those at the bottom and those at the top, and does so without charging a copay. Jesus is a scandal because the kingdom of God is not about deserving a seat, but needing a place to sit. Not about credentials or titles or status that glorify the self, but it's an undeserved, unearned grace of God. This is as countercultural today as it was for Jesus in his time. Because many of us don't want to give up self-glory, and that makes sense. Those things make us feel important. Which is why Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not because money is bad, no, but that your money does not define you or make you more worthy, because it's all about what God has given you. To sit at God's table doesn't require status, but what Jesus is getting at is it requires humility. So often we define humility or being humble as doing good, but shh, don't let anyone else know you did good. How many of you wrestled with giving a donation and wondered, should I put my name on this or should I remain anonymous? I don't want others to think I'm better than them, promoting myself, and so you tick anonymous. But what is really motivating us in that moment? What keeps us from sharing the good we do in the world? It again comes back to, what will others think of me? How will that affect my image? Will people think less of me or too much of me? Church, this is not humility. Humility is the movement from giving ourselves glory to giving God glory, from thinking we are almighty to realizing that all of it is a gift from God, down to each breath we take. Humility. Thomas Merton says it so well when he writes, "In perfect humility, all selfishness disappears, and your soul no longer lives for itself." He goes on to say that humility is the only key to faith, with which the spiritual life begins. Because when one lives no longer for themselves, they know where every good within them comes from. This year I taught youth at Dunkirk Family Camp. And we were given a task to clean this old farmhouse that was to be used for employee housing. Specifically, our task was to clean the windows. Now, it was a sunny day at camp, but when you walked into the house, it could have been nighttime. Clinging to the windows were layers of dirt and grime that had built up for years and years being next to a dirt road. And it was keeping the light from entering this beautiful farmhouse. And so we got to work. We had to use Windex and elbow grease and ladders and caution. We had to clean the inside and the outside. And with each swipe of the paper towel, with each blackened paper towel, more and more got off. And with each layer taken off, the light could pour in more. And when we were all done, I'm telling you, that living room was so bright that you couldn't even see the glass. It was just light. Our titles, accomplishments, and gifts are not bad. They are windows. When our egos and our privilege or entitlements cling to us, layered and caked, that glory of God cannot shine through. However, when we realize that it's not about us or our glory or what others think of us, with humility we can remove the dirt to allow God's love, justice, and grace to shine. This table in front of us is a microcosm for the kingdom of God. Notice it is not in a U shape. Notice it is not about what you have done or not done. Notice you need no special title or proper documentation to come to this table. Notice that no one will check your sexuality or your gender at this table. Notice that we don't have to think or believe the same things to come to this table. Notice that all are worthy and deserving of this meal. Notice this is the table God has set, the house that God has built. And you and I are called to build around us. And I believe when we do, we allow the light to pour in. And we can all agree we need some light these days. So later on today, we will feast at this table together, proclaiming that all are welcome, that all may have what they need. Amen. Amen.